The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them, along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Feast of the Transfiguration of Jesus. If you didn't know it already, today's feast is the Feast of the Transfiguration. So a little tiny thought about that, okay? A little thought about the Transfiguration for you. For about the past 200 or 300 years, there's been a movement, especially in the West, a movement to equate religion with ethics. The idea that the real purpose of religion, of everything that we do, right? Churches, masses, rosaries, prayers, lighting votive candles, all of it. That the real purpose of religion is to make you into an ethical person. And to that end, any religion that can make you into an ethical person, or no religion at all for that matter, is just as good as any other. Real common idea, I'm sure you've heard of it before. People often express it with the words, "It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're a good person." Now, do not misunderstand. One of the greatest consequences of religion is to make you an ethical person. One of the greatest effects of religion, properly lived, and we all know there's scallywags and scoundrels and guys who aren't doing it right, properly lived is to make you a person of the highest ethical caliber. But if you thought that that was the purpose of religion, you'd be gravely, gravely mistaken. The early Christians understood far, far better than we do what the real purpose of our Christian life is. They held it as axiomatic. They thought that it was as clear as the ground that they were standing on, that the real purpose of Christianity is what they called theosis. It's a Greek word. It means divinization or deification. That the real purpose of all that we do is to cooperate with God's plan, God who is preparing us to become something so great that you're not even prepared to imagine it yet. That God came down to this earth, became a man, took on human nature, to lift up human nature to divine nature itself, to make us into something so great you're not even prepared to imagine it yet. Ethical people? Yeah, sure, but way, way more than that. One of my favorite little images to try to make this more down to earth is the image of Pinocchio. You know the story of Pinocchio, the little wooden puppet boy who becomes a real boy. Something far, far greater than he ever imagined possible. Have you ever thought in your heart that you were made for something so much more than this life, but you can't quite put your finger on it? Kind of a permanent restlessness in your heart. The idea as you look around and as you live and you take life in one day at a time, that there must be something much, much more than this. Almost like a lion in a cage who somehow knows he was made to be free. Well, that idea is central to our faith. There's a rumor going around the toy shop that all of us are going to become real one day. St. Teresa of Avila once said, this life is like a night in a bad hotel. The hotel is not yet home. You're not yet where you're supposed to be. And you're not yet who you are supposed to become. And in the Feast of the Transfiguration, we get a glimpse of what God actually created us for. The Transfiguration of Jesus, in which he appears radiant in glory with Moses and Elijah. An image, not only of who Jesus actually is, but an image of what you were created to become. So a question for you to mull over is, if God made us for this deification, for this state so great we can't even hardly even envision it or call it to our imagination, why didn't he just create us that way from the get-go, right? From the moment of our birth? Why this long, drawn-out drama of living a spiritual life and, you know, falling while you try to keep commandments and repenting and starting all over again and saying prayers? Why all the drama? Why? Well, it's because of a little thing known as free will. Our God is a God of love. And love, as you know, has no meaning unless it's freely given. No meaning whatsoever. And as you know, free will can be misused. As you know, free will has been misused. And this is what we call sin. And sin has some very unfortunate consequences, one of which is the deformation of the human character, making us into not what we were supposed to become. And as God leads us to who we're supposed to become, it hurts a little bit. It hurts a little bit. You could also ask a parallel question. Why did Jesus transfigure himself before Peter and James and John here on Mount Tabor? Why wasn't he just always like that? St. John Damascene says that the Transfiguration was not a miracle. It was the temporary cessation of a miracle. Jesus always was like this, and the real miracle is that he managed to keep it hidden, except for just this one moment. Why just this one moment? Why not all the time? Because Peter and James and John were about to go down this mountain. They were about to go up another mountain, the mountain of Calvary, where Jesus would once again reveal himself for who he truly is when he died on the cross, revealing the depths of his love, but in a vision of horror. God showed them the vision of glory to help prepare them for the vision of horror that would be to come. And in a sense, he does the exact same thing for us. It's one of the purposes of the Feast of the Transfiguration. Book of Proverbs says, "When you set out to serve the Lord, prepare your heart for trials. Because trials produce character, and God is far more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. When you go through these trials, remember not only the Feast of the Transfiguration, but the thousands and thousands of times in which God has given you already in your heart a little first cousins of the Transfiguration. He does this for all of us. Moments of illumination, moments of joy, moments of glory that you're meant to remember when things get tough. It's like what St. Peter said in the second reading. When you're going through that dark valley, keep your eyes fixed on this promise of the Lord, like a light shining in a dark place. All of us have and will pass through many dark places. And my little thought for you for the day is, when you do, do not forget God's purpose. Do not forget God's promise. God the Father, speaking in the Transfiguration, says, "This is my beloved Son." Let's you and I listen to him. Amen.